best of times, the worst of times. Ian Lipkin talks on ME/CFS. By Court Johnson, July 6th, 2025. Who would have thought the world's greatest virus hunter would ever have taken an interest in chronic fatigue syndrome, ME/CFS? There are lots of nasty bugs out there, after all, and Ian Lipkin's lab has been hunting them for decades. Lipkin has developed numerous methods: MassTag PCR, green chip diagnostic, high throughput sequencing, to track down emerging pathogens. The list of pathogens he's played a key role in is long and includes West Nile virus, the first SARS virus, arenavirus, hemorrhagic fever virus, MERS, or Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, Zika virus, and Borna virus. Closer to home, the tick-borne disease serochip, TBD serochip, he and his lab developed significantly improved diagnostic accuracy by enabling the quick and accurate detection of 8 different tick-borne diseases. Lipkin's group has identified at least 20 new viruses ticks carry in the northeastern U.S. We could go on and on about the number of pathogen detectives he's trained and the hundreds of viruses he and his team have discovered. Lipkin's ability to speed up the detection of pathogens has saved countless lives. Given all that, the question that begs to be answered is, what is this paragon of pathogen detection doing, spending most of his time now working on a neglected, controversial, and often overlooked disease like ME/CFS? As Lipkin explained in our What's Up Doc interview, and you can see the YouTube link to that at this point in the text version of the article, he transitioned to helping people with chronic neglected illnesses like ME/CFS and autism. Lipkin has heart disease, but there are lots of people working on heart disease. Not so with ME/CFS. Lipkin's personal connections to people with this disease run deep. He knows of 3 formerly young and healthy people who committed suicide. And by the way, regarding that video interview, please excuse my blurry image. Unexpected Wi-Fi problems occurred, and Ian Lipkin's image is fine. Oddly enough, the great pathogen detective has never had much success in directly finding pathogens in ME/CFS. The Borna virus, with its central nervous system altering capabilities, seemed like a promising fit for ME/CFS, but Lipkin's attempt in 1999 to link it to ME/CFS was unsuccessful. You can see a link to that here at this point in the text version of the article. Its failure left behind a telling clue, though. Likewise, Lipkin's later use of techniques, 1,000 times more sensitive than had been tried before, failed to find evidence of an unusual pathogen at work in ME/CFS. In retrospect, it turned out that the headline, "No Borna virus found in ME/CFS," might have better read, "Substantial B-cell dysregulation found in ME/CFS." Lipkin's Borna virus work found evidence of non-specific polyclonal B activation, a sign that B cells were pumping out scads of odd antibodies in almost 80% of ME/CFS patients. B cells, of course, have become of great interest in ME/CFS recently. Likewise, Lipkin's autism work with the autism birth cohort suggests that pathogen-triggered immune dysregulation in the mother during pregnancy increases the risk of autism, and you can see another link for that here. It has also been found that folic acid supplementation during pregnancy reduces the risk of ASD by 40%. Over the past 15 years, Lipkin has turned his attention to exploring, through microbiome, proteomic, metabolomic, and immune studies, the hit-and-run hypothesis, whereby a pathogen is vanquished but leaves behind a lasting impact. He's been studying ME/CFS for a while, but now believes the field is on the threshold of something very exciting. The best of times. Quote, "There's so much hope right now. We can finally get somewhere with this," end quote. Ian Lipkin. Lipkin believes his and others' work on molecular underpinnings of ME/CFS has produced, quote, some very plausible models that suggest that we can start clinical trials very soon, end quote. He is not alone. Avindra Nath and Nancy Klimas have also asserted this. All think the key will be identifying subsets, which he stated we now have the tools to do and is, quote, just around the corner, end quote. Lipkin said, quote, there's so much hope right now, we can finally get somewhere with this, end quote. On a personal level, Lipkin knows many people with these diseases. He called the progress gratifying. His NIH-funded ME/CFS Research Center has been involved in three projects. One was a good day, bad day project to scour multiple tissues, saliva, blood, urine, and more, for clues to what's happening when people with ME/CFS feel better and feel worse. Another was a genome-wide study that aimed to do for the US what Chris Ponting's UK Biobank study is doing for the UK. Combining the two would result in a much larger, more powerful GWAS study, which could pinpoint the genetic risks of coming down with ME/CFS, potentially pointing to causes and treatments. The last, and perhaps the most interesting, was to take advantage of millions of blood samples gathered by the Department of Defense using an AI program to identify samples taken before and after people developed ME/CFS to pinpoint triggers such as immune or metabolic issues, assess the effects of duration, etc. After Lipkin failed to find direct evidence of a pathogen in ME/CFS, he switched gears and developed a new method to assess the body's reaction to a pathogen. This method allows Lipkin to assess not just the antibodies produced in response to an infection, but specific antibodies to specific parts of a pathogen that are, and this is the key part, triggering an immune reactivation in that person. Nobody has been able to assess antibody levels, pathogen reactivity, in this kind of detail in this disease. Lipkin used this technique to break the code on acute flaccid myelitis a couple of years ago. Using this unique technique, Lipkin found, during a small study, a group of ME/CFS patients for whom viral reactivation to specific parts of the virus appeared to be driving their illness and who might respond to antiviral therapy. That presents the possibility for the first time of a clinical trial of antiviral therapy specifically focused on that group of patients who would be most likely to benefit. He compared it to treating high blood pressure. If the marker is there, you treat it. He noted that Ampligen, which boosts the innate immune system to eliminate viruses, clearly works for some patients. A kind of paralyzing question for ME/CFS doctors has been what to do with the immune system, suppress it or enhance it, and if you enhance it, which part of it? Lipkin's subsets provide a roadmap for them. Lipkin's presently moribund good day, bad day study clearly presents an immense opportunity to pluck out this group of patients. In this study, patients wear wearables to provide a baseline. Once a threshold is reached, the patient is either doing much better or much worse, the investigator reaches out to the patient and collects a sample. The sample is then tested for metabolites, proteins, nucleic acids, antibodies, and gene expression, among other biomarkers, and compared to samples taken when the participant is performing better. The beauty of it is that the patient never needs to drag themselves into the lab when they are feeling really bad. The investigator comes to them. Lipkin referenced a study where he took immune cells and exposed them to triggers of the innate immune system. Using metabolomics, immunological measures, cytokines, gene expression, and others, he found that people with ME/CFS, in particular women with ME/CFS, had a much greater response to immune stimuli, a finding that tracks with the ideas of immune exhaustion. Metabolically, they identified abnormalities in metabolites associated with mitochondrial damage. That suggested to Lipkin that many people with these diseases have a reduced threshold for triggering an innate immune response. This fits in well with Nath's and others' work, which suggests that defects in B and T cells in the adaptive immune response are putting the innate immune response on a hair trigger. Lipkin said that when something like that is happening, the smallest stressors will throw you off, and, quote, you're going to feel sick all the time, end quote. In contrast to the other group, you might want to suppress innate immunity and enhance the adaptive immune system in this group, and some drugs can do that. Ditto with Lipkin's gut flora work, which shows that some people with ME/CFS have very low levels of butyrate-producing bacteria while others don't. While gut flora may not be the answer, its effect on the immune system suggests that rebalancing it should be helpful. Ultimately, Lipkin's goal is to create an efficient diagnostic panel that doctors can use to rapidly decide which category a patient fits into and which treatment to pursue. Lipkin believes we are closer to developing effective treatments than figuring out ME/CFS. In fact, he believes those treatments may not be far off. Quote, I think we're very close to being able to have precise treatment for people with ME/CFS, at least for a large number of people, end quote. He noted that recently, a group of leading clinical and basic researchers had been trying to prioritize the first efforts in establishing a clinical trials program. Lipkin is more optimistic about the future for people with these diseases than I've ever heard him. He said, quote, I am so encouraged. I am so eager. And anybody watching this podcast, and there's one person in particular, Ron, don't give up hope. I really think we're almost there. You know, I get these notes sometimes from people who say, I want to donate my body for your research. And I say, please don't. Just hang in there. He rued the young, formerly healthy people he'd known who committed suicide and said, we're almost there. It does seem like so many things are tying together. Of course, more funding is needed. For years, Lipkin has felt that given the right funding, progress will be rapid. We've never received that kind of funding, but Lipkin is clearly encouraged by what the field has accomplished with the limited funding it has had. If a wealthy person came to him and said, I want to do a Manhattan Project in ME/CFS, though, he predicted, quote, we could get this thing done in 2 years, end quote. That's how close he thinks we are. Now for the worst of times. The field is progressing, but Lipkin's work is currently on hold and has been for a while. In what Lipkin called a, quote, painful, end quote, situation, his NIH-funded ME/CFS Research Center funding at Columbia was cut during the Trump administration's kerfuffle with Columbia University, when the administration failed to contain anti-Israel protests, which escalated into harassment and civil rights violations of Jewish students on campus, leading to accusations by the Trump administration of anti-Semitic activity, and the withdrawal of massive amounts of funding, resulting in collateral damage for unrelated projects such as Lipkin's ME/CFS Research Center. First, the administration terminated $250 million in National Institutes of Health grants, and later froze $700 million in National Institutes of Health grants at Columbia. Columbia is not alone. As of June, the Trump administration has ended or delayed nearly 2,500 grants across the NIH, effectively reducing funding by $2.3 billion. The vast majority do not involve DEI projects. In a Kafkaesque situation, Lipkin has never been told who turned the spigot off, why it was turned off, or who to contact to turn it back on. Lipkin was informed by one source, Sponsor Projects, that his grant had been terminated, but the NIH website indicates it's on hold, and he has never received a termination letter. He agonized over a Gulf War illness ME/CFS study that has been terminated. All the samples had been collected, and much of the data had been analyzed, But the project was suddenly terminated because the powers that be didn't understand that he also needed to analyze the data, perform the biostatistics, create the models, and write up the paper. A few weeks ago, he got a notice that the MECFS spigot had been turned back on, only to get another one a couple of hours later that it was shut again. Science reported that the NIH initially told its program officers that they could resume funding to Columbia. 6 hours later, the grants were back on hold, with the NIH communications officer reporting, quote, "There is no funding for unvetted woke research at Columbia," end quote. The Wall Street Journal reported yesterday, though, that Columbia was in talks with the Trump administration. You can see a link to that at this point, the text version of the article, to restore some of its federal funding. The good news is that it appears the MECFS grant could be reinstated if a way to do so can be found. The bad news is that Lipkin has no idea how to do that. He said, quote, "If anybody listening has any influence, you know, on how these decisions are made, please get that turned back on," end quote. The program has been kept alive by money provided by a generous donor, Jeff Ansell, and his daughter, and Lipkin, but the funds have all but run out. He now needs support to keep his MECFS research center going. Lipkin is now 75 and is not in the greatest health, but he's clearly excited and eager to move forward in the field. Let's hope he's able to fully bring his decades of experience to bear on this work. Maybe now is the time for a Manhattan project for MECFS. Supporting Ian Lipkin's work. Ian Lipkin's work is currently hanging on by its fingernails. You can support his work via a fundraising page, and you can see a link to that at this point in the text version of the article, or by using the QR code below, again, in the article, that his team created to keep it going during these uncertain times. Health Rising's Quickie Summer Donation Drive Update. Thanks to everyone who have quickly brought Health Rising to about a third of its goal. Getting access to leaders in the MECFS, fibromyalgia, and long COVID field is something Health Rising excels at. Look forward in the next couple of weeks to talks with UCSF researcher Michael Peluso, Thomas Henderson, MD, on laser light therapy, Klaus Wirth on why he thinks people with MECFS can get so ill, and why he thinks he has a drug that can help, and Eileen Ruhoy on her new book and what's exciting her about MECFS and long COVID. If that supports you, please support us. Please support Health Rising and keep the information flowing. You can see two options, giving one time and donating monthly, in the link after the text version of the article and just before the comments section. Thanks for listening.